Well, great to have everybody here on Grad Sunday. How about a big hand for all of our grads? Woo! We have some impressive people we're going to introduce to you at the very tail end of this service. And I thought it would be very fitting on Grad Sunday to have Jacob Davis, our fine youth director, join us. Give Jacob a big hand. Mr. Noah Holliday, a graduate himself who also leads our junior high ministry, give him a bigger hand. And another graduate, Greta Henry, she's also running student life at BCA, give her a big hand. And I thought it would be very cool for you to hear from four really young people here today. What are you laughing about? I don't think that's very funny. I'm very young. No, you're going to hear from these friends here in just a moment, and all three of them have graduated from the Bethany Leadership College, which is basically an extension of Northwest University, and Jacob a year or two ago, and Noah and Greta here this week, and so these friends have a heart for ministry and obviously are right in the middle of that right now. Today, together, the four of us are going to continue our series on what the world needs. And I want you just to think about this for a moment. You know, this is an election year, and so things kind of get ramped up again. And, you know, we live in a society that is just full of shouting and shoving, pushing and pulling, vitriol and viciousness. And I am just not convinced that that's the way you're going to build a bridge to people far from God. The way you're going to build a bridge to people far from God is by living and loving and leading like Jesus, which requires compassion, and what we're going to talk about here today, empathy. And we're going to take a look at the words of the gospel as we walk our way through this. Last week we talked about compassion. This week we're talking about empathy. The next 3 weeks we're going to turn to Micah 6:8, where the Bible says, I will show you, O man, how to live. And you need to act justly, and you need to love mercy, and you need to walk humbly. And so we're going to look at these five character traits of Jesus himself over the course of this month, as we really lay the foundation for the kind of church we need to be and the kind of church our community needs us to be. Amen? Amen. Seneca said, wherever there is a human being, there exists the opportunity for an act of kindness. Daniel Pink said, empathy is about standing in someone else's shoes, feeling with his or her heart, seeing with his or her eyes. St. Augustine said, the measure of love is to love without measure. And Mother Teresa said, be kind and merciful, let no one ever come to you without coming away better and happier. Caring for others is the highest expression of humanity. Each one of them is Jesus in disguise. And if you can't feed 500, then feed at least one. The sermon in a sentence today is really this. Do you care? Do you care about the hurts and needs of other people? I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I just want you to ask the question of yourself very clearly and very simply. There's a passage in the book of James that just really kind of hits us right between the eyes, where it says, true discipleship is about walking the walk, not just talking the talk. A lot of people today like to talk a good game. But as disciples of Jesus, are we walking a good, as a church, are we living out compassion? Are we living out empathy? And so I want you to turn with me to James chapter 2, and Greta's going to come and read a passage for us right now.
James 2, verses 13 through 16 reads, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it?
Thank you, Greta. Compassion is love in action. Love is a verb. It's something that we do. It's something that we show. Just talking about stuff is not the same at all about doing it as doing it. Empathy is the ability to sense other people's emotions, coupled with the ability to imagine what someone else might be thinking and feeling. So says the dictionary. We read from Matthew chapter 25 last week, which really is a foundation passage for us when we think about being the church that we need to be. And Jesus says, when you care for the least of these, talking about people that were underprivileged or disenfranchised or in need or were hurting. As you care for the least of these, you are caring for me. And the least of these does not mean less valuable. It just means more vulnerable. What are you doing? What are we doing to care for human brokenness and human need? That's what we're talking about here today. What is the distinction between compassion and empathy? How would you define it? How would you describe it? You can look up the terms in the dictionary and kind of find your way through it. But I think of it in these terms. You know, I said the statement a moment ago, if you care, you'll be aware. And I think awareness is the empathy part of it. You know, we're seeing the needs of other people. We're walking in their shoes. We're feeling their hurt. We're feeling their pain. Awareness. And caring is proactive. It's being compassionate, showing love in action. That's one way that I would think about it. To love is to be both compassionate and empathetic. One of the ways that we try to do this here at BCA is we bought a building 5 years ago right down there on Main Street and Broadway, and we have 26 ministries to our community that each and every one of us are involved in, either by praying, by giving, by serving, or all of the above. And last week, we took a one-day's wage offering, as you know, and you know, we just invited everybody to give an equivalent of 1 day's wage or thereabouts to feed the hungry, and already 30,000 has come in. Isn't that awesome? Already 30,000 have come in. That's money that doesn't stay in our church to paint the walls or do other maintenance projects, which we need. It's to give out in the way of providing food for the hungry. One in every six kids is under-resourced food-wise in our community. So you can look at a statistic like that and say, boy, that's just really too bad. That's really terrible. And then sit on your hands and do nothing about it. Or you can pray and you can seek ways to try to help a little bit. You say, Rob, you can't help everybody. Well, you know, we can't do everything, but we have to do everything we can. And we got to keep at it and keep after it and try to find new and fresh ways to be a blessing. That's what it means to live, love, lead like Jesus. By the way, if you weren't here last week and you're kind of new to the idea of a one-day's wage, you can go online and give to the Bethany Compassion Center. And everything that comes in right through the BCC this month is going to go to the one-day wage special offering. We're going to turn our attention to one of the greatest stories that Jesus ever told. It's a story about the Good Samaritan, and we read about it in Luke chapter 10. Just before Noah comes to read about it, I want to just kind of whet your appetite with a couple of thoughts. In this story, someone cared, and two did not. Someone cared deeply and a couple didn't care at all. Someone cared sacrificially while others did not. It's the story in the Bible, and there are others, but it's one of the greatest, at least to me, that Jesus tells that shows us what it means to love fiercely, to love passionately, to care, to empathize. And so as we walk through this story together, I want you just to notice what empathy looks like, what showing empathy deeply looks like, what showing empathy sacrificially looks like. And so let's talk, first of all, about what showing empathy looks like. Noah, why don't you come and read this passage for us, and then we'll talk about it.
Luke 10, 25 to 33 reads, "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' he replied. 'How do you read it?' He answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'You have answered correctly,' Jesus replied. 'Do this, and you will live.' But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' In reply, Jesus said, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him."
Thank you, Noah. What a great story. What a powerfully penetrating story. In this story, there's someone who cared and some others who didn't. Someone showed empathy and others didn't. Today we have needs all around us. It's tremendous. It can be overwhelming. In fact, we can be kind of paralyzed saying, where do I start? What do I do? And that's why we as a church have decided to work together to try to address human need in a very tangible, practical way through the work of the Bethany Compassion Center. It's an extension of this church, an extension of our heart to try to live up to God's ideal, who sets the standard of what compassion and empathy looks like. And even though we haven't arrived at Jesus' standard, we want to continue to grow and grow and grow and become more like Jesus as we live, love, and lead like Jesus. I'm going to ask Jacob to come and share a little bit about this subject of empathy. God bless you, buddy.
Well, it's an honor to be able to share with you guys today as we get to celebrate and honor all the graduating seniors today. Can we give a round of applause real quick for all the graduating seniors? Awesome, awesome. Hey, well, I graduated high school about 6 years ago, then college 2 years ago. And for some of you, that number might be a lot bigger. Yeah, that was supposed to be a joke. Sorry, it did not land. Okay. But I know as a follower of Jesus, I never graduate from knowing and having the need to grow in compassion and empathy. To truly grow in empathy, I have to keep growing to be able to live, love, and lead like Jesus does. The story of the woman at the well truly inspires me. The woman was a Samaritan woman. We see that neither Jew nor Gentile wanted to be around her. Nobody went out of their way to talk to her, to be around her, nor anything. We see that she went out in the middle of the day, and she was hiding her sin, and she was hiding her shame from the community. We would now call her nowadays an outcast, as she was hiding. She wanted nothing to do with society. And then Jesus comes into the midst of the story. Jesus came up to her. He didn't care about the social status. He didn't care that she was a woman. He didn't care that he was a Samaritan. He went out of his way to show empathy. You know why? Because Jesus truly was an outcast too. This passage of scripture truly inspires me as I ask the question, man, am I going out of my way? Am I going out of my way to go see the social outcast? To go see the people who feel different than I do? Am I going out of my way to do so? As a follower of Jesus, I will never graduate from growing in compassion or empathy.
Awesome. Thank you, Jacob. Appreciate that very much. Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by your politics. No, that's not it. They will know you are my disciples by your bank account. No. They will know you are my disciples by the car you drive or the car you don't drive or you fill in the blank. No, they will know you are my disciples by your love. Love is compassion in action. Love is empathy in action. Last week we celebrated our 5-year anniversary of the Bethany Compassion Center. Look at all these fives on this slide. We talked about how every single year there's 50,000 acts of compassion. Times 5 years, that's 250,000 acts of compassion. That's a lot of holiday baskets. That's a lot of meals that we provided at the mission. That's a lot of back-to-school supplies and backpacks for kids and on it goes. That's just a lot of people doing a lot of wonderful things to meet human need. We're working this month on raising $50,000 to feed the hungry. And I know there will be 500 people this summer at our summer bash as we give away supplies and food and build relationships with people in our community. God has called us to empathize deeply. And I want you just to ask yourself the question. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you're right there with Jesus, where none of us are, of course. Well, where would you put yourself in that continuum with regard to empathy? We all need to grow. I need to grow. We all want to become more like Jesus. We all want to live, love, lead like Jesus. The second point is empathy cares deeply. Greta's going to come and read a very, very short verse, but I want you to hang on every word of this verse because I think it's such a profound, profound verse. We'll talk about it, but first let's listen as she reads.
Luke 10:34 reads, "He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him."
Thank you, Greta. Look at the words. He went to him. The Good Samaritan didn't run away, didn't ignore, didn't go to the other side of the road like the other two guys did. No, he went to him. And then what did he do? He got his hands dirty. He bandaged up his wounds. He tried to figure out a way to proactively get involved, be engaged in meeting human need. He poured on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey. He took more time, spent more energy, brought him to an inn and said, "Hey, take care of this man," which means he paid the freight. He paid the cost. He paid the hotel. As we know from our study in the Bible, a Samaritan was the enemy of the Jew. They were an outcast. They were hated. And yet Jesus specifically tells the story, elevating the Samaritan and really kind of calling the Jewish religious leaders to task. Every listener would have said, "Wait a second, what are you saying here, Jesus? You're really elevating the one we hate over those that we love, our very own." But Jesus did that on purpose because he felt there was injustice. He felt there was a lack of mercy on behalf of his own people. The Bible says in James 1:27, "True religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is to look after the orphan and the widow in their distress." As a church, we've taken that verse very, very literally. We ask ourselves the question, what are we doing for widows and what are we doing for orphans? And so we have a specific ministry that we do for widows, and you know, our seniors ministry and our compassion ministry are very involved in that kind of thing. But when it comes to orphan work, we do a lot of work in conjunction with really wonderful ministry partners in our community. One is Olive Crest. These friends major in caring and providing hope and opportunity for foster care families and adoption. I don't know how you define orphan, but that's one of the ways I define orphan. And it may not be exactly the same, but through foster care ministry and through adoption, how can we care for little children? How can we care for children, really, of all ages? And so my good friend Josh Sperry is going to come, and he's going to speak to us on June 30th as a part of our service and talk a little bit about Olive Crest, and we're going to talk about how we partner with them. And then after the service, we're going to have an information meeting. And I want to encourage you to make a note of it. You may never have thought of yourself of being a part of this kind of a ministry, but again, we're called to be proactive. And how can God use us? We have many families in our church that are very, very active in foster care ministry, adoption, and so forth. And it's just a beautiful thing to see. And so I'm going to encourage you to be a part of it. One of the things that Josh told us in a Zoom meeting with Christy and John and I the other day is, you know, not everybody can be a foster family, but everybody can help a foster child and be involved in the ministry some way, shape, or form. So to kind of sweeten the pot, there'll be a free lunch after church. Some of you say, "Why isn't it today?" I would go for sure. Well, we have one today, too. It's called Kids Camp, so you can come to that as well. But I want you to be thinking and praying about this because, again, it comes down to, are we going to read the Word of God where it says, care for the orphan and the widow, and let it go in one ear and out the other, or are we going to immediately go to task in finding ways that we can be a blessing and continue to move down the road of caring for human need? The power of the story of the Good Samaritan is in the application. It's in the application. It's what are we going to do about it? The Good Samaritan shows us what he did about it. Love shows empathy deeply, and the Good Samaritan did that very thing. I'm going to have Noah come and share a little bit about empathy as we continue to think about this important assignment. Noah.
Yeah, well, like Jacob said earlier, I just graduated from ministry college, but like any other Christ follower, I'll never graduate from needing to grow more and more in empathy. One of the stories of Jesus that really inspires me and the empathy I have for others is him coming down to die for us. You see, in the story of the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan spent his time, his treasure, and his effort to help the injured man. But Christ did so much more for us. Christ left perfection in heaven. He looked at our mess and he said, "It is better that I leave perfection in heaven to come and help them." Christ left everything behind for us. And so the story of the Good Samaritan is almost like a low, that Christ is saying, "I just want you to give people your time, your treasure, and really care and empathize with them." But the example he sets is to die to our own selves, die to our own self-interest, and really deeply care for others. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Christ gave us more than just bandages. Christ gave us more than just his time and his treasure. Christ gave us himself. What that inspires me to have empathy for others, because Christ's call is not just to meet their needs, but also to empathize with them, to care for them, to actually care where they end up, what I'm doing is benefiting them. I want to share just like a quick story. I work with a bunch of people who don't all share my same beliefs, and there was a moment where I overheard a conversation where my coworkers were talking about another one and saying, "We're not obligated to be his friend." And immediately I was convicted by Jesus that I am obligated, because what Christ has done for me, I am obligated to have empathy for this person. I'm obligated to do more than just not be mean to them. I need to actually care about them and take interest in them. So yeah, that Christ coming down and dying for us is what inspires me most to have empathy for others and to live, love, and lead like him.
Excellent. Thank you. Awesome. Awesome. They will know you are Christians by your love. Lord, how can we live, love, and lead like Jesus more and more and more? None of us have arrived. We want to keep going. We want to keep growing. In a very practical way, I want to just remind us of really our goals for this month, this summer. We celebrated a 5-year anniversary last year. We talked about the 50,000 numbers and the 500. And you look at a lot of numbers and you say, "Wow, you know, that's great." But really, the focus is on the one. Who's that one senior in our community that we can help that might have no one else caring for him? Who's that single mom that we can help? Who's that immigrant family that's just moved into our community that doesn't even know the language and is looking for someone to help? Who's that one homeless person? You know, who's that one child? Who's that one young person, student? It really always comes down to the one. I love the statement, I shared it last week, do your giving where you're living, then you'll be knowing where it's going. There are so many wonderful agencies and service groups in our community and everywhere. But I like to give to the work of the Bethany Compassion Center, because it's faith-based. I know what it's about. I know the people involved. I know the care that they give. I know the heart of our church family. And so my wife and I give on a monthly basis. I'd encourage you to consider giving a recurring gift to the Bethany Compassion Center, as together we join forces to address human need in our community. The third point that I want us to think about as we prepare to close is empathy cares sacrificially. And I want us to take a look at Luke chapter 10, verses 35 to 37. Noah's going to come back, and he's going to read these verses. Let's take a listen.
"The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' 'Which of these 3,' Jesus said, 'do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell to the hands of the robbers?' The expert in the law replied, 'The one who had mercy on him.' So Jesus told him, 'Go and do likewise.'"
Sacrificial giving always requires that we give our 3 most important resources: our time, our energy, and our money. I ask myself that question often. Am I giving time, energy, and money to the various needs, causes, and opportunities? I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm not willing to do myself. That's kind of a principle of mine, is whether it's receiving offerings or doing ministry or service, I don't want to ask others to do what I'm unwilling to do. It's interesting that 2 denarii was 2 days' wage. Maybe next year we'll do a 2 days' wage offering. What do you think of that? A 2 days' wage. So the point of the matter is, this Good Samaritan was invested. The whole point of this parable was the question, who is my neighbor? The legal expert that is addressing Jesus is saying, who's my neighbor? He's trying to kind of, you know, work his way out of a corner. And Jesus answers it very forthrightly. He says, your neighbor is anybody who has a need. Not based on ethnicity, not based on age, not based on socioeconomic status, not based on anything. It's whoever has a need. And then Jesus addressed him and said, you see what this Good Samaritan did? Now I want you to go, and I want you to do likewise. Greta, would you come and share a little bit about empathy? Thank you.
Well, just like Jacob and Noah both said, you never graduate from becoming more like Christ. Because in my mind, if Christ is the goal, Christ is unattainable, therefore learning never stops. So don't ever think you've graduated from becoming more like Christ. But with that said, when it comes to sacrificial empathy, or empathy and sacrifice, one story that comes to mind from the Bible for me is in Matthew 14, and it's right after John the Baptist has been killed. And it says that when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. In this verse, Jesus' friend has just been murdered, and Jesus has just heard the news. So he leaves, as makes sense. He leaves to be alone for a bit, and he's out on a boat, and he sees the crowd, and he feels empathy towards them. He knows what they're looking for. And so he leaves the boat. He goes to the shore. He talks to the people. And to me, that's such a great example of sacrificial empathy. Because as I was thinking about this, I was trying to think of what's the difference between sympathy and empathy, because they're very similar words. And what I was coming up with as I was searching that was that sympathy has more to do with your feeling for someone else from your own perspective, while empathy is feeling for someone else from their perspective. So it's a deeper understanding, looking at what are they dealing with in their mind from their perspective. And that's so much of what God does for us, because Jesus doesn't look at the people on the shore and go, oh my gosh, guys, get it together, leave me alone. He looks at them and he feels what they're feeling. He sees what they're looking for and he feels empathy for them, and it drives him to go be with them. So for me, that's something that really stands out to me of, first, I need to have the patience and take the time to listen to people, to know people, to see people, and then to try to feel empathy, find empathy in saying, let me see it from your perspective. Let me love you in a way that actually changes your heart, I guess. But that's what empathy sacrificially means to me.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Greta. Wonderful. Wonderful. Beautiful. Excellent. The closing question that we want to leave with you all today is, what does empathy require of you? What does empathy require of me? What does empathy require of our church? You know, empathy and compassion are kind of 2 sides of the love coin. Are we walking in other people's shoes? Are we feeling their pain? How can we do that more? How can we do that better? And then when it comes to compassion, how can we show it? How can we be about it, not just talk about it? I want you to bow your heads with me as we close this part of our service and get ready to move on to honoring our graduates. But right here, right now, would you just pray a prayer like this for yourself as I pray it for myself and for our church? Lord, none of us have arrived. None of us have reached the apex of being the most loving, empathetic, compassionate people we could ever be. But we want to. We want to grow. We want to be more and more and more like Jesus. We're convinced that you have commissioned us to build bridges to people far from God. And the way that we're going to point people to you is by way of love and compassion and empathy. They will know we are Christians by our love. So Lord, give us a growing ability. Give us a growing awareness. Give us a growing care quotient. May we truly be broken for what breaks the heart of God, and that is hurting people. May we care about the broken and the hurting and the needy, Jesus, like you were and you are. Help us walk away from the service today with one action step of what we can do. Maybe we can pray more. Maybe we can serve more. Maybe we can give more. How can we engage, get involved more? Speak to us individually. And Lord, we pray as a church, as we fight the good fight every day, every week, every month, to continue to grow our compassion edge. I pray that you'll help us, Lord, take new ground in the area of compassion, empathy in our community as we seek to be a blessing. For we know we have been blessed to be a blessing. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said,